everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Finally, we get to talk about rain, a sustained rain in southern Arizona happening right now. Bill Buckmaster, along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing our show on Thursday, the 23rd of July, 2020, bringing Southern Arizonans together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Tom, the record for this date at Tucson Airport, of course, it's a little different. This, you get these kind of rains, it could be like, I think the last figure I saw up on the screen was less than a tenth of an inch out at the airport. So that record is certainly not in jeopardy. But I understand the flash flood warning has now been extended.
That's right. Earlier, it had been listed until 12:45 this afternoon. Now it's until 1:30 this afternoon, and it includes a lot more areas around the Tucson metro.
Well, our area of in the lower foothills, Swan and Sunrise, we do not have a gauge, but my guess, just the way the water was running, I'm thinking about 2 inches. And thanks, Tom, bringing up that chart of the really variable. This is typical of our monsoon season, where you can have some areas like out by the airport, less than a tenth of an inch, but up in the foothills, up to 2.5 inches. And then over on the far west side, 3.5 inches. Let's bring in now Ramon Valadez, the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. He is also the chair of the Regional Transportation Authority. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Ramon, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. Glad to be with you today.
What kind of numbers are you seeing?
In terms of the rain, what we're seeing is there is a line. I talked to Mayor Honey from Marano, who said that the, up in his area that they had gotten about 2 inches worth of rain. Out by Supervisor Bronson, out in the west southwest area, she had over 3 inches, I believe. So, and it's almost a line from the southwest corner of the Santa Catalinas all the way down towards the Ajo Way, Ajo Corridor after I-10 or I-19 rather.
Yeah, and on this chart I have in front of me, the most rain is 3.5 inches. Tom Fairbanks, is that looking like over by Valencia? Is that what you're seeing?
The Tucson Water Treatment Plant in the Brawley Basin.
Okay, all right. So that looks like where the most rain has fallen. But the flash flood warning is still in effect, and driving in from the foothills, the roads are really, really chancy right now, Ramon.
Right, and the Brawley Wash is in Supervisor Bronson's not only her district, but close to her house as well. So that's exactly why we were saying that around her house, she was at the time it was 3 inches. Now it's almost 3.5.
Wow. All right. Speaking of numbers, how do the numbers look? It appears that the new case numbers have been going down in Arizona now for a couple of maybe a week or at least. How do these numbers look to you?
Okay. A couple different things we need to look at. Obviously, you never want to look at it on a day to day because it goes up and down so erratically. It's very hard to look at it that way. So you want to look at it on a weekly basis. And you obviously don't want to look at this week because obviously some people may not have their test back. Apparently Sonora Quest is taking a substantial amount of time at this point to get the results back. And in some cases, even last week is not all that accurate, but we're going to use next week just so we can really kind of talk about where we're trending right now. In terms of positive cases right now, going back to about June 27th, the week of June 27th, rather, we saw about almost 2,200 cases, 2,300. That dropped to between 21 and 2,200 the following week. Last week, we actually saw a drop. Obviously, this number is not a rock-solid number and may increase, but we suspect that the trend going downward will continue. At this point, that number is at almost 1,900. And so, obviously, I won't go into this week because we not only haven't completed this week, we know that there's a substantial amount of tests that still haven't been gotten returns. Now, People always ask about deaths related to this as well. And obviously, if we go to the week of July 4th, we had 31 deaths that week. The subsequent week, we had 54 deaths. And this week, we already have 38 deaths, which is not something not any of us ever want to hear. In addition to that, what you also want to look at is trend lines in terms of the positive cases. Now, you and I talked a little bit over text. What you want to look at, though, is principally the PCR tests, which tend to be the swab. Okay, that right now is a much more accurate test than the serology test, which is the antibody test. The theory behind the serology test is sound, but because they haven't had the time to really develop the criteria and exactness of what they're looking for, we personally don't trust the serology test at this one. So I'm going to look at the PCR test because we know the accuracy of those. Okay. About 4 weeks ago, it was testing at 21%. Now, when we had the stay-at-home order in place, we got to as low as between 3% and 4% positive tests in the PCR tests, and that's where you want it. You want it below 5, preferably 4% and 3%. So, like I said, 4 weeks ago it was at 21. The week after that was 19. Last week was at 15, and right now, so far this week is at 14. So it's definitely headed in the right direction, but let's keep in mind that we want it below 5%. So it's still high, but it is headed in the right direction. And frankly, I think a lot of that is due to people, some people staying home, others making sure that if they have to leave home, they're wearing masks as well.
So we are going in the right direction as far as that positives and as far as new cases. Deaths is going in the wrong, is unfortunately going in the wrong direction. But I understand hospitalizations and emergency room visits also are decreasing in Pima County.
That is correct. Our med-surg capacity as well as our ICU capacity, where last week we were talking in terms of the ICU, and I'm going to specifically go with the ICU, on any given day around 20 beds, and at one point got to single or very low double digits capacity for the whole of Pima County. And so we were transferring patients out of Pima County at that point in time. And when I say we, I mean the hospitals. Yes, at this point, last week was 20 beds. This week, we're probably looking at somewhere between 30 to 40 ICU beds in the region. So it is headed certainly in the right direction.
What does Dr. Garcia say about all of this, our health director?
Well, Dr. Garcia, as he said all along, right now we need to make sure that we are careful. The disease, the virus is not gone. He suggests certainly that wearing masks is, and I think there's been a lot of confusion about wearing masks. Wearing masks is not about protecting ourselves. Wearing masks is about protecting those around us. We don't protect ourselves by wearing masks, or we minimally protect ourselves. It's really about protecting others, because if you really think about it, if you're carrying and are asymptomatic and don't know, your mask will help protect others from getting a large enough viral load potentially from getting the disease.
Sam, what do we have now with the original CARES Act funding that went to Pima County? $87 million, and then there was some supplemental funding, bringing a total to almost $100 million. Could you quickly break down the four areas before we take the break where that money has gone?
Yeah, certainly, and I'll break down some of them are a little boring, but so I think the ones that people most care is the ones I'm going to talk about. Under the original Federal CARES Act, we got $87.1 million, and then we got, as you said, a supplemental funding of $11.3 million in supplemental federal funding for a total of about $98.4 million in federal and other revenues. To date, at this point, we have a total of $133 million in expenses. Now, a lot of those, what we saw is that we budgeted some of the county employee leaves, and because it was budgeted, we're getting reimbursed for that. So we're really we're really about a point where we're almost even. I think the part of the expenditures that people are most going to be concerned about are really the testing and the contact tracing. At this point, we have budgeted for testing right now $40 million of those monies, and for contact tracing, $20 million. Obviously, we stood up last Monday. We stood up the Keno site for free testing, both for symptomatic and asymptomatic, and they're separate lines. You'd need to go to either the website and fill out the information and set up an appointment and make sure that you're on time for the appointment that you set up, because they're set up every 10 to 15 minutes and eventually will be set up every 5 to 10 minutes. And if you don't have a computer, you can also call and schedule an appointment, again, for that. Contact tracing, we went with Maximus, and they hired already 60 employees to begin doing the contact tracing, and I believe this week are looking to hire an additional 100 employees. And so the original 60 employees are going to be up and running and doing contact tracing beginning next Monday.
All right, we are at the break, but there is a number here, and it's not a lot of money, but it's important. It's about $2 million for increased flu vaccinations. And, of course, why this is important is because we do have the flu season coming up. And I saw some information coming out of the Southern Hemisphere, out of Chile, Argentina, areas like that, that they are seeing a reduced start to the flu season, in which, of course, it is winter in the Southern Hemisphere, and they are attributing that, Ramon Valadez, to folks wearing masks. So, So hopefully we'll get some benefit. If there was ever a time that you'll want to take a flu shot, this is it, I'll tell you. And they'll start offering, usually August, our pharmacies will start offering those flu shots.
Right. Right, and not only wearing masks, which is incredibly helpful, and again, masks, just so to be very clear to your listeners, masks don't protect us from the virus as much as protects others from potential virus that we're carrying.
All right, we'll take our break right here. Ramon Valadez, chairman of the Pima County Supervisors. He has an op-ed in today's Star. We'll talk to him about road funds and the RTA as we continue in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios on a very, very rainy day. Boy, I'll welcome this kind of weather any day, as long as nobody gets hurt. We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on a very rainy day, and we are under a flash flood warning until 1:30, which pretty much covers just about every area of the Tucson Valley. I mean, the list, nothing jumped out at me that was not included in that list. So just be very careful out there. The water is running in all of the washes, the usual places. Ramon Valadez is the Pima County Chairman, and he is the 2020 Chair of the Regional Transportation Authority Board. He had an RTA, well, he had a op-ed piece in today's Arizona Daily Star. How is, of course, the RTA, Ramon, that tax continues, it's 15 years into the 20-year program, continues till June of 2026. How has all of this recent COVID-19 pandemic affected the timetable?
It obviously the timetable can't shift in terms of the 20-year cycle of the actual plan. Part of what we were doing and anticipating is we actually did part of the financing for it was a bonding program, so that we're trying to make sure that that we can get all the projects done and are very confident at this point that what we promised in 2006. Gets done by 2026. A lot of the corridor projects that were done are completed. Obviously, we still need to finish off Broadway and I believe Grant are the two really big ones that still need to be completed. But a lot of the safety projects, the school safety projects, the pedestrian safety projects. The mass transit, obviously we now have a wonderful street, modern streetcar here, between the downtown and the University of Arizona, has been completed for a number of years. So we have seen a huge, improvement in terms of mobility. Now, obviously in 2005, when this plan was being put together by the Citizens Advisory Committee, pavement preservation wasn't part of that discussion. Pavement preservation today is very much a big part of that discussion. And so right now, as the ad just talked about, as my op-ed today talked about, really, is that we've been able to keep the promises that we've made thus far. And so what we need to help in right now is we need the public to help us and to voice their opinion. How important is pavement preservation? How important is capacity? How important are other transportation issues, including mass transit, moving forward so that we can start with our Citizens Advisory Committee. Like last time. Remember, that Citizens Advisory Committee had over 250 meetings in order to develop this plan. So we're probably looking at something very, very similar. Obviously, in today's time, it may have to be virtual or over the phone. But we still need citizen input to help us develop the plan because it's not the RTA's plan. It's our plan, all of us.
Yeah, this is a very critical point for public input. in the development of this draft plan within the next year, and pavement preservation will be a big part of the conversation, something that really wasn't that big a deal, I guess, back when this was being planned about 20 years ago. But it is now. And also, the discussion will be around how much of a tax, correct?
Right, as well as when the election is going to be held. Obviously, the legislature has given authority to the RTA to, if they choose to, go before 2026. So whether or not there's certain certainly some overlap. Obviously, when the Great Recession hit, there was some shortfall to the $2 billion that were supposed to be generated from the 20-year tax, which we have backfilled for the most part with regional monies. But there's still going to be a little bit of a gap, so there may be a necessity to have that crossover. But again, that has to be part of a RTA 2 plan.
So the 20-year half-cent sales or excise tax to fund the plan, would this also be a 20-year plan, Ramon Valadez, or how would that work?
We're right now probably looking at another 20-year plan. Obviously, if you take a look at what we generate in a community our size versus what Maricopa County generates in a very similar circumstance, it's night and day. I mean, I think they generate over $2 billion in a matter of less than several years. But in our case, when we did the projection out from 2006 to 2026, a half-cent sales tax would then, or transaction privilege tax, would then generate about $2 billion. Obviously, going forward, we'd have to look at what the math says, but really, that way, the rate at which that excise tax or that transaction privilege tax is assessed at doesn't have to be as high as it would have to be if it was the same $2 billion over a shorter period of time.
So you can't really project if what that would in effect buy over a 20-year period. Would it be similar to about $2
billion? That would be my guess, yeah. But we simply haven't worked the math to tell you with absolute certainty that would be the case. Obviously, things have changed in the last 15 years a little bit, but certainly we would do the best math. And then when we do have the projects decided on or the categories, they're indexed, obviously, based on where they're in, what phase they're in that 20-year plan as well, to try and do the best math possible to project out to the time at which they're scheduled to begin, which is what we did. Obviously, it's easy to project 2 and 3 years out. It's a lot harder to project 5, 10, and 15 years out.
And the RTA really has done a great job in delivering what they have promised, Ramon Valadez.
No, absolutely. I'm the sole remaining member of the original group of mayors and supervisor and tribal chairs and nation chairs back from when we started in 2004 and 2005. Obviously, in 2006, Mayor Honey out of Marana joined me, so he and I are the two senior members of the RTA board. It's exactly that.
All right. Let's go back to our conversation about COVID, if you don't mind. We've got about 3 minutes to go. So the actions that we've taken with the restaurants and other things, your conclusion, are they paying off?
I would argue, and obviously what we had to do, Bill, is that we started the restaurants as soon as the governor lifted the stay-at-home order. Mm-hmm. We then worked with the Chamber of Commerce and the Restaurant Association to really kind of craft something that worked even better. And obviously, since that time, we asked for authority and were granted authority to then enact a face mask ordinance that applies to all of Pima County. We believe at this point in time, yes, it is having an effect. Remember, everything has a delay. So if I were to enact something today, it would be at least 2 weeks before I would see something in the rate of positives. In addition to that, you've got to think the hospitalizations and the ICU beds are several weeks out. So you got the 2 weeks for when you enact something. You got another week before you really need medical care, possibly another another week before you need hospitalization, and another week after that before you need ICU. So you can tell what we're seeing in terms of ICU beds is from a number of weeks ago. So it's not a direct effect where you can see immediately.
On your complaint line that people do call if they have if they've seen something they feel that folks are not complying with the face mask. Are those calls going down? And how does that work? Do you try to go out there, or someone go out there from the county, or call them, or what?
Typically, the first phase is we try and call them and try and assess whether it's, hey, you know what, you need have a conversation. Remember, the initial emphasis of all this was really education first. So there's a call made. We try and assess what's going on, try and figure out whether or not we can help them so that they, in fact, can succeed under these parameters and that are following the ordinances. So the phone call comes first. Obviously, at some point in time, if it continues, then there is a visit. If it's found that they're either not complying or not getting back to us, there is a visit by a health inspector. Obviously, then they're looking for potential violations. We've had a number of folks who have, on initial visit, come into compliance. Primarily, most of those cases. In terms of some of our supermarkets, initially there was some level of confusion. After we've talked to their CEOs and their regional presidents, most of them are making a very strong effort to comply with face mask wearing ordinances. So we've typically seen successes. What we told the administration.
Gotta go, Ramon.
All right, Bill.
Thank you very much. Ramon Valdez with us, chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, CBS Network News, for a live update is next on the Buckmaster Show.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. A little bit of an update here. The National Weather Service has extended the flash flood warning for most of Tucson area until 2 o'clock. So be very careful out there. We're getting some very, very heavy rain in parts of the area. The wash is running. I'll tell you, though, the rain is certainly welcome. Our friends over at Green Things, boy, are they happy to have that rain over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Green Things is the place to go on their 13 acres. Amazing plants, trees, annuals, you name it. They've got it. If it grows, I'm sure they've got it. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. At 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Don't forget about Zocalo Village, that amazing, extraordinary collection of fine art and handmade furniture. It's time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show about taking control of your health care and your medication. Our Your Meds segment features Dr. Ray Woosley, former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean, founder and now President Emeritus of the Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, commonly referred to as CPATH. Dr. Woosley is currently a professor of medicine and biomedical informatics in the University of Arizona College of Medicine in Phoenix. His latest creation is something called Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited by thousands of people from really all over the world every day. The website is crediblemeds.org. Dr. Woosley joining us now from his home office in the foothills where it has been raining a lot. Hey, Dr. Woosley.
Hi, Bill. Good to be with you.
Boy, we got, I know on the way in today, from we're in the central foothills area, we were just getting hammered. I bet you've got a lot of rain up there.
We have. It was just lovely watching the gutters pour water out.
I know. Dr. Woosley, we just had the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors giving us kind of an update on some of the numbers here in Pima County with COVID. Generally, it looks like new cases are decreasing. However, deaths have been on the upswing. Some of the partial good news, hospitalizations and emergency room visits are also decreasing. What's your take, sir?
Well, I think that's the natural what you would expect. You know, it goes in sequence. You have people get infected. They go to the emergency room. They get put in the hospital. Some of those get put in the hospital. Some of those get put in the ICU. And some of those, sadly, will be dying. So I think it's where we would be expected. We were a very hot spot, and we remain one, with lots of people being infected and a lot of people being put in the hospital. And so the deaths are reaching the peak, and thankfully the number of people being diagnosed and presenting to the hospital seems to be in decline, and I sure hope that's the case, because then shortly after that we should see fewer deaths.
I have noticed fewer folks that are deciding, for whatever reason, not to cover their face. I'm seeing more and more face covering, which is a good trend. Are you seeing the same thing?
I am. I was out, more and more people cover their face. I haven't seen the hostility that we've seen on TV against people, you know, the people who've politicized face wearing, mask wearing, or face covering. And I actually saw something that was very encouraging, that even bandanas can be as effective as an N95. And they may be more comfortable for some people. But I have seen more, and I hope it grows, because that's one of the few things we can do right now. We don't have the manpower, person power, to do the contact tracing that we need because of the massive numbers of people who've been infected, the large percentage of people tested who are positive and need to be followed up quickly. And our tests results, unless there's new data, what I've seen is that it's still taking far too long to get the test results back. And without the rapid turnaround on those, they have limited value, other than telling us that there are a lot of people sick. To be able to prevent more infections, you need to be able to track and trace those positive results quickly, because after a few days, the results are not going to be that impactful.
Places like New Zealand were successful early on. They jumped on this, Dr. Woosley, and they were able, through contact tracing, to just quickly jump on any case. Just by the very nature of the United States, and we're such a diverse country, it's really been hard, hasn't it, to get a hold on this thing?
It has, but it's mainly because we haven't had a coordinated response. We haven't identified where the virus was quickly, and then we haven't had the people trained to do the contact tracing, tracking and tracing. And it's a shame, because we claim to have the best healthcare system in the world, but we haven't been able to lead the world in managing this illness. Other countries have done better than we have, and there's no excuse for it, frankly.
And these results sometimes are all over the block. Have we come a long way from when this thing first came on the scene with getting accurate testing, Dr. Woosley?
I think we're better, but we don't have the data yet to be sure of that. Clearly, the early tests had a lot of false positives, a lot of false negatives. We believe that the testing that's being done now is better. The U of A is very aggressive in developing an antibody test, which will be equally important. Remind the listeners, there's two kinds of tests generally. There's those that look for the presence of the virus, but when the virus is gone, we hope that you can measure the antibodies that the person has produced that allowed them to get better. And some of the recent data is very scary, that the antibodies don't last very long, that within a month or two or perhaps three, half the antibody level is declined. And that means that the protection may be declining. We don't know that. There are anecdotes of people who've been reinfected, and a lot of questions about how long our immunity will last, our natural immunity from being infected. And that's a real concern, because we've got to, the whole belief is that there will be what's called herd immunity, that there'll be enough people with antibodies that they won't be passing it amongst each other.
Now, COVID-19 is in the same family as a common cold. Is that correct?
Well, it's a viral infection, but
right.
it's not the same family. There's the SARS family of viruses.
Okay.
And it's in that family, and the antibodies that have been produced with other illnesses are extremely variable. I mean, some viruses we develop long-lasting immunity, but many we don't. The flu vaccine's a great example, where we have to get an injection every year.
Yeah, and speaking of the flu vaccine, I saw a story yesterday, and I wish I had printed it out, but it is about the flu season, how it is reacting, Dr. Woosley, in the Southern Hemisphere, where it is winter. And one of the good news stories that's coming out of a place like New Zealand, where everybody is required to wear a mask, their flu is much lower this winter season than in the past. So maybe that will be something of a benefit for us if we continue with the mask wearing.
Exactly. That's a very good point. masks are good for any virus will help reduce the transmission of any virus. And the flu virus, everyone's been very much afraid of the combination of COVID-19 with the flu, the annual influenza virus infection on top of it. It could be devastating. Bad enough, but it could be even worse.
When we continue, let's talk at a new drug update about what is being done, perhaps as some kind of a therapeutic for COVID-19 with Dr. Ray Woosley. We'll continue with Dr. Woosley after we take a break on the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, our Friday Focus interview, Congressman Raul Grijalva will be our guest as we continue. I almost said right after this. No, that's 24 hours away. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, a longtime sponsor, Silver City and Grant County. We have sent so many listeners over there over the past 10 years. It's just a three-hour drive from Tucson. But right now, our friends over in Silver City are asking their friends here in Arizona to hold off a bit before taking the drive over to Silver City because of the COVID-19 situation. They have kind of closed their borders to out-of-state visitors. And this is a huge hit, as you can imagine, to the Land of Enchantment during this, their prime tourism season. But that's just where they are right now, trying to stay on top of the COVID-19 outbreak. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the listing of great places to stay and things to do. And, of course, we'll let you know when quarantine or provision urging folks not to visit expires. Let's go back now with Dr. Ray Woosley, the former UA College of Medicine dean, and he's also been so involved with this website, Credible Meds, which helps people find out about their medicines, crediblemeds.org. Before we continue our discussion on COVID-19, Dr. Woosley, I see the FDA has recalled, are these some hemp oil products?
Right. They just announced that the hemp oil products and dietary supplements and these products don't have to get FDA approval. So it's the FDA's responsibility to go out and test the products and try to find out if there are any problems. And some of that testing has turned up two distributors of a lot of different hemp oil products and CBD oil products that have lead contamination. So I think it's I tried to go online and find out what the brand names were, but it's obscure. So I think what the FDA is saying, if you're taking a hemp oil product or CBD oil, be aware that some of the manufacturers have lead contamination, and you should go to the person or the people you bought it from and try to see if your product has lead contamination and is on the recall list.
Well, you don't want lead contamination. That's something you do not need that right now, I'll tell you.
On top of all the other problems.
On top of everything else. Is there any evidence that we're reaching or nearing a cure for COVID-19?
Not a cure. We are making, we're actually moving pretty quickly, but these are really baby steps. For people who are placed on a ventilator, the very sickest people, we've been able to reduce the deaths from 42% of those people dying to down to 30% with a drug called a cortisone-like drug called dexamethasone. So that's saving lives, but it's a baby step compared to what we'd like. We'd like a cure, and we don't have it. Remdesivir is an antiviral drug that has been in the spotlight because an early trial found that it could reduce the hospital stay, get people out of the hospital 3 to 4 days earlier. But there was a trend towards fewer deaths, but we don't have evidence that it's saving lives yet. And those are the only two drugs that really look good. There was a lot of discussion and politics around hydroxychloroquine, an old drug for lupus and arthritis that we know a lot about, and we know it's harmful. And the studies are now showing that it does not help COVID. It doesn't prevent COVID, and it does cause sudden death. It causes harm and should not be taken. The FDA came out early on encouraging people that it might be effective, but they now have said do not be using it, and doctors are discouraged from prescribing it.
Well, one of the big issues there is the heart rhythms, the irregular heart rhythms that this particular drug can cause.
Exactly, and that's something that Credible Meds has been working on for over 20 years, identifying the more than 50 drugs that are on the market, and hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine are on that list of 50 drugs that can cause heart rhythm problems. And when you say heart rhythm problem, it sounds like it may be mild, but we're talking about death. Yeah. Some of the people who develop the heart rhythm problems, their first symptoms are sudden death.
That's bad. Well,
so
that's that.
I hope people will really not. I hope people will wait for evidence that something is truly going to help before they try to experiment with their bodies.
All right. Before we talk about vaccine, let's go to the live line. Ingrid has a quick question for Dr. Woosley. Go ahead, Ingrid.
There's so much contradiction between you and a guest who was on an earlier program this morning, Dr. Jane Orient, and she's highly regarded. You contradict each other almost on every single point. It's so tragic to listen to this. Are you aware of what's being said there? And also, I went to a meeting the other night, and somebody said that people who were waiting in line for tests, they were signed up for tests, got discouraged and left, and got notices back that they were tested positive, even though they didn't have the test. That gives us very, very little confidence in the information we're given. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there is a lot of controversy, Ingrid, about the what the chloroquine or that Dr. Woosley has been talking about. You want to quickly address that?
Well, I don't know what was said by Jane Orient, but Ingrid, so I'm at a loss there.
She was on our morning show, Wake Up Tucson, and she's a big proponent of that particular therapeutic. So that's where that is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. There's absolutely no scientific evidence to support the use of those drugs. So I don't know what Jane Orient's evidence is, but the medical community is pretty unified about this and has been from day one. I mean, simply look at the drug label, the FDA-approved label provided by the drug manufacturer. It lists death as an adverse event and these arrhythmias. So I don't know what others are saying good about the drug, but I can say nothing good about it.
Okay.
Unless you have arthritis or lupus, which it has been tested and approved for.
All right, let's go on to vaccines. At least two appear safe in the early testing, right?
Yeah, that's the good news. And the vaccines result in antibodies that are produced. The T cells, the memory which you need to be able to remember to recognize the virus, the T cells are responding to the vaccines. And so this is really good news. And vaccines often take years. Within 6 to 24 months, hopefully six, we'll have vaccines and we can start injecting people. But we've got a long way to go. Like Tony Fauci, the only thing I have in common with him is cautious optimism. He knows so much more about this than I do, but I know that vaccines normally take years, and we're way ahead of schedule on this, but we still have some major milestones to meet before we can start injecting people with confidence that it's going to produce immunity. And we need to determine how long that immunity lasts, what's the dose of these vaccines, and that takes time, but I think we're ahead of schedule.
And I don't think it would be the end of the world if we need to have a booster shot. That's done typically for shingles. I know that I went through the two injections with that, where you would take one, Dr. Woosley, and you wait within 3 to 4 months for the second. You could see a booster being required here.
Exactly. And the evidence indicates it's very likely that there'll be need for boosters, maybe annual injections too. The work underway at the University of Arizona, where they're doing studies on the antibodies produced by healthcare providers and very high-risk populations, will help us understand way to use these vaccines. We need the kind of testing that's being developed at the University of Arizona. And also give a shout out and thank you to the people in the College of Public Health who are doing a lot of the tracking and tracing for the county and our state.
All right. If you have any questions, and I'm sure people do, about a particular drug, you can find out what crediblemeds.org has to say about that drug. And Dr. Woosley, it's a very easy to use website, right?
I hope so, and if it isn't, let us know, and we'll work to make it even more useful.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley appears monthly on our program, our Your Meds segment. That's what's good about talk radio. You're going to get different opinions on these things. Not everybody's going to be on the same page, and that is certainly the case if you with this COVID-19. But you can hear the different opinions, and then you make your own opinion. Buckmaster with you, wrapping it up. Raul Grijalva tomorrow on the Friday Focus interview. Tom Fairbanks, thanks, Tom. Remember that flash flood warning in effect for about another hour. See if they let that expire, but be aware out there. Have a great afternoon.